Hello, it's Nightside. My name is Paul Farivar.
And my name is Dr. John Duffy.
We are going to take you on a ride tonight, talking about dating and relationships. We are both complete experts. Tom Hush and Aubrey are helping us out in the engineer booth because we literally know nothing about any of the buttons that are in front of us.
Yeah, don't let us press anything inappropriate.
But what we do know is relationships and dating. My background, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul Farivar. I have a podcast called Singles Only. It's the number one podcast in all of the world right now, according to a couple of my relatives. And we talk about dating. We talk about being single because I am single. And I like to call myself a dating insider, John.
I think that's an appropriate name for you.
And it's fun because now I'm with someone else, a peer, if you will, because I feel like I provide service to single people.
Correct.
And I give dating advice to people. Although I don't have these licenses that you speak of that you have.
I appreciate the air quotes. Thank you.
I just feel like we're both providing a service. Now, your background, you actually are a psychologist that does this for a living.
I am, in fact, a psychologist that does this for a living. Been a clinical psychologist for about 25 years, work a lot with relationships, used to be a CPA, fun fact. That was not my jam, but this
it's 9 times 12 really quick.
Oh, boy, I'm going to have to consult a guy.
All right,
I need
fine.
A guy. Yeah. I've been married for quite some time, so you and I have a little contrast there.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're married, and you just agreed with me when I said earlier that marriage is an outdated institution. What does your wife think about that?
Gee, I don't remember you saying that exactly.
You got to start a show with controversy. Speaking of which, though, I think it's interesting. Patty and Andre were talking about politics a lot on their show, and obviously, it's in the news. It's on everyone's brain because of the election. Tom, you're nodding with me in agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to wind up in any sort of relationship that you're going to talk a little bit of politics, even if you have like this unspoken rule. No, we're not going to get into fights. It's going to happen one way or another, especially at a time like this.
Well, it's funny because being in the single world and on our podcast, Singles Only, with Patty's my voice of reason on that show. We have people, and being single, and I see it on this online dating apps where they say deal breakers. If you're a ex supporter, swipe left or whatever. And I think it's interesting that we've come to that point. I only say that because, and people are like, can you coexist in that situation?
Right.
And does that come up with you in your therapy session without revealing names?
Right. Thank you for keeping confidentiality in mind.
I knew you were
right
about to do it. I know you like forgot that you're...
I tend to broach professional ethics on a regular basis, so I appreciate you like cueing me to that. Yeah, I do see this a lot in my practice, and it's really, really tricky terrain for couples to navigate. Oftentimes, what they end up doing is either saying nothing and then exploding at one another or trying to find some middle ground. And lately, let's say 2 years or so, I've noticed that a lot of couples are having more and more difficulty finding that center, finding that point of agreement, whereas having done this for a while before that, usually there was some fundamental, hey, we're both Americans, fundamentally we want the same things. I don't hear that quite as often as I used to.
Well, I have two situations that have come up. One, we had a podcast guest who was married, and after the election, her husband was an avid Trump supporter. He became very alt-right in a way after, and it caused a divorce based on the election. And then on the other hand, I have a family very close to me who are ones, the dad is a Republican and the mom, and by mom I say my mom and my dad.
May as well be specific.
Yeah, well, let's just say theoretically speaking, my mom is a registered Democrat, my dad is a Republican,
right.
And they've coexisted they're still married for over 50 years. So, I mean, one TV has Fox, one TV has CNN during the elections. And obviously, 2008 and 2016 were very aggressive periods of time in November.
Right.
But it works.
So how do your parents make that work? How do they talk about politics?
Well, theoretically, we've wondered why they're still together for a long time, but I don't know if it's just the politics, but it seems to be they don't talk about it unless like it comes up. Obviously, I bring it up a lot because I like to talk politics, and that's when it kind of gets aggressive. But I don't know how do you coexist if you have, especially now when the country is so divided on politics, whatever your politics are, how do you make that work?
Right. Well, a wise man once said, hey, if you both agree on everything, one of you is unnecessary, which is a really nice way to go about, like, you know, thinking about a relationship. But when it comes to politics, I think it's real tricky. I find in the couples that I work with that if politics is a problem, other things are problems as well. And politics is kind of a punctuation on that. It's kind of like, see, and we even disagree about this very fundamental thing.
See, I wonder how often does that come up? And you know what? By the way, if you are experiencing this, or if you have your deal breakers that you won't date someone, everything is great except for their politics, give us a call. Talk about it. Call us, text us, 312-981-7200. Or if you have been in a successful relationship and are on opposite spectrums of politics, call us. Let us know. By the way, also, we're going to have call-in games later. We're going to hear from you to tell us what your worst dating stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to hear about it. We're going to give away thousands of dollars of prizes. Is that right, Tom? We've got thousands of dollars to give away.
Millions.
Oh, millions.
This is going to be a great
night.
We've
got some great sponsors on this show. But for now, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar. We're back. I'm Paul Farvar.
And I'm Dr. John Duffy.
We are talking relationships in these troubled times of politics.
Yes.
Give us a call with your thoughts, 312-981-7200, or text us. Tell us your dating stories. By the way, if you are in a successful relationship or a successful marriage, give us a call. Tell us what the secrets are. Or if you're single like me, why are you single? Tell us why or what you're doing. Or if you need dating advice, we have free of charge two experts in this field. Why do you spend what it's right now, the going rate for dating coaches is about $6,000, I heard. This is free.
Come
absolutely
on.
Absolutely free. Call us, text
absolutely
us, tell us your stories. But do you have without breaking, I know you're right about to break the code again.
Well, I've got a lawyer in the room telling me not to violate confidentiality. So, but I do have a couple of stories about some clients that have talked to me over the past few years about like the nature of their relationship and politics and how those interplay or not
was
together.
Was it Oprah Winfrey? Is she your client?
Well, okay. Let me talk about somebody else then.
Okay.
All right. I worked with one couple not that long ago, and their relationship revolved in a lot of ways around politics. And about 2.5 years ago or so, they would argue it stopped being fun. And so they feel disconnected from one another because they used to canvass. They used to agree on a lot of the same things. And somehow, it's not that they're politically stratified in some awful way or something. They just aren't feeling it. It just brings too much negativity into their lives. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to have anything to do with it.
But can't that be, I mean, you could say that about a lot of situations. It's not just politics. It could be something that comes up in a relationship that just triggers a kind of separation, right?
I mean, for sure.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, with long-term relationships, you always have to reinvent them and find something to keep them fresh and keep them going, you know, so that it feels relatively new because you get that they're, trust me, man. Like, if you're in a relationship for a very long time,
patterns, what's a very long time? Like 2 months?
Yeah. Well, I'd say even twice that.
4 months?
Well, or 25 years. Whatever you like.
I got so scared right now. No,
you can breathe. Just take a deep breath. It all works out.
25 years? That's a lot.
It's actually more like 27. I was trying to ease the pain a little bit.
You've been married for 27 years?
Correct.
How is that possible?
Well, because we keep things fresh.
Well,
and
I mean,
we don't...
You're young, too. I've seen you guys.
I'm an exceptionally young man. Yeah. We got married at 11, 12.
By the way, that's not accurate. You can't get married. Just we're nothing if we're not accurate on the show. You can't get married at 11.
This is true.
You got to keep this an honest show.
Okay, I like that.
But 27 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you do to keep it fresh? Like new haircuts every couple of months?
The new haircut is always a happening thing. You know what the cool thing, and this is the truth, that Julie and I do to keep our relationship going is every weekend we record a podcast. So
right?
I'm not kidding you. And it's called Better. It's on WGN Plus.
Oh,
it's
nice.
On iTunes. And what it does for us is we actually, as opposed to a lot of marriages that are long-standing, we sit across from each other like you and I are right now. We look at each other and we have a conversation.
So do you like save stuff for the podcast? You're like, if she's like, oh, I hate what she puts, and you're like, just save for the podcast. Like if you have like an issue like comes up, you're like, you know, you were watching reruns of Barney Miller a little too long. I think we're gonna just be like, save for the podcast.
You know,
do you do that?
So far, not, but that is actually not a bad idea. I like it a lot.
Just save your marriage. You're welcome. Julie, you can thank me later.
So. I'm sure she's writing you now.
It's the key to marriages. I've unlocked this secret.
It's actually Taxi, though, not Barney Miller, given that you're being true to...
Taxi is one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's such a great show.
It's such a good show.
Yeah, of course.
Not, you know, it used to be on reruns on MeTV, but I have them set to record.
Right.
But I've seen all the episodes.
Oh, you have?
I've seen every Taxi. I've seen every Cheers. Patty makes fun of me for this, Patty Vasquez. But, and I did watch all of the Websters.
All the Websters. That begs a number of questions. I don't know if we have time for.
It's caused some relationship issues because I sleep with the TV on.
Is that right?
I have to sleep with the TV on, yeah.
Curiously, historically, I sleep with the radio on. Since I was a kid, I slept to sleep with this station on.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Have you had, you've been with the same person for 27 years, and she's okay with it?
She is. I don't do it that often anymore, but when I do, she's perfectly okay with it. It's not loud. I don't blare it, but sometimes it just eases me to sleep.
So I've dated girls who can't sleep over because I sleep with the TV on, and we have like earmuffs. Also, I snore. These are all, I'm learning a lot about myself just by talking to you.
it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, and you are answering a little bit of the question about why is Paul single that we are going to get to at some point later in the show.
Sleep with the TV on, either it's news or some show that's horrible, because it helps me sleep. It's relaxing. Growing Pains is another one.
I see.
Alan Thicke was like the father I never had.
How comforting.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say that because my dad is my father. He's still with us listening right now.
So he's the second father.
Second father.
Okay, let's go with that.
Who was a... Did you connect to him because he was a psychiatrist?
Not only did I connect to him because he was a psychiatrist, but we talked about Taxi. Judd Hirsch was an ordinary people, and he worked with teenagers, and he did a lot of the same work that I do. So there's a lot of connection there. Yeah.
Ordinary People is one of my top 5 movies of all time. I've said this many times. I have it on VHS, DVD, and that's it.
If this were a first date, and I'm not saying it is, it would be going pretty well because it is one of my top 5 movies as well.
We just became best friends again.
No kidding.
Call us with your movie deal breakers on your dates.
Absolutely.
I have had people that have horrible music taste, and that's like... It's almost a deal breaker. So it's almost like politics in a way. But we'll talk about it more. We got to take a break here in a little bit. Call us with your deal breakers, I guess, if you got deal breakers for dating. Or if you want to tell us about what your your keys to success in a relationship are. 312-981-7200 or text us. More in a little bit. We're going to take a little break here, right, Tom? Let's do it. We are back on Nightside. My name is Paul Farvar.
My name is Dr. John Duffy.
And we are taking your calls. This is just like a modern day love line. I know there's probably a new love line out there I've heard, but ours is like the original love line where we give advice. We hear you telling us stories. We have a trained expert here with you and Dr. Duffy. No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Duffy is a clinical psychologist. I have been single for over 39 years, maybe longer than that. But I mean, give us a call. We just looked at the stats. We have 3.2 million people listening right now.
Astonishing number.
One of you guys have to be calling us. I know you guys have cellular phones. It's modern. And it's the time where you don't have to pay minutes. So give us a call. Tell us. We've got prizes for best worst dates coming up, too. I don't know what else I can tell them.
Yeah, you're going to want a piece of this, folks. There's no doubt about it.
If you want advice, too, I mean, tell us. We are here to tell you. I mean, you have two people who've been to between us. We've gone on 100 dates in the last 3 years, at least. So I don't know what for me. What do we have? Like, what are the keys? What about in your experience, Dr. Duffy? What do you know about the do's and don'ts about relationships when you're starting a relationship?
All right, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about dating for a minute, okay?
Starting.
So just getting started. If you're looking for somebody, if you're looking to fall for somebody, or you're looking to get involved in a relationship, here's what specifically doesn't work that I think a lot of people that I've worked with have tried over and over and over again. The first thing, if you're trying to meet somebody in a bar, don't bother.
What?
I'm telling you, the statistics and my experience, and not my personal experience, but my client experience with this, would suggest that might be a reasonable spot for a hookup situation. But in terms of an actual relationship taking place when you meet somebody in a bar, the odds are in the single digits, man.
I could not disagree with you more.
Every girl
I've dated for more than 3 months, I've met at a bar.
But do you spend a lot of time at bars? Is this the pool you're swimming in?
So when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I would go out. I was just talking about this today. I would go out to bars every Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
Different bars.
Yeah.
But kind of local scene places, and that's where I met some of my most successful relationships. So whoever made this statistic up is wrong.
You're not buying this at all.
I'm not buying it, Doc.
Do you think you bring something different to the bar than some other gentleman might?
Yeah. I've got amazing hair, number one.
The hair is outstanding.
By the way, you guys can't see this on radio, but between John and I, we have probably the top two heads of hairs.
Yeah.
Top two hairs at WGN right now. Although Aubrey has really good hair right now, too. He's looking at us from the side angle. I see that.
It's styling.
But this is, I'm just telling you, if we had a contest for hair in the studio right now, John and I would be number one and two.
We'd be at RPM steak by the end of the night.
Yes, yeah, for sure. But that's not the contest. But yeah, I bring good hair to the table, and I'm like a solid 6 out of 10, but like personality is like a 9.5. I'm witty. I used to be a lot funnier. I was in better shape back then, but that's where I would meet people, at bars. That's where you do.
Well, I do wonder whether that's part of the bar scene thing that works, is if you're bringing the funny. I think sometimes that when I talk to young single women that I work with, they will tell me they're not necessarily looking for the best looking guy, although the hair probably helps on a subconscious level. They're really looking for somebody who is genuine, authentic, relatable, personable, and probably most of all that first night funny.
Well, okay, we've got some calls now. I guess my plea from 3.21 million. Now we've got 14 calls coming in. Let's see. So we got Jim, line one. How do we pick up line one? Oh, hey. Hello. Jim, you got a Jim from the eight. Where? What's your worst date story?
My worst date story happened when I decided to ask this girl out, and she asked if she could bring some people along because she wanted to go out as a group of friends at first. And so when I went to pick her up, she had invited all my ex-girlfriends to be there. And so when I took her out, they sat around and talked to each other, and I just sat there watching my ex-girlfriends talking to the girl that I was trying to date.
How did she know to call all your ex-girlfriends, Jim? How did she have access to that?
Well, they were some of the girls that I worked with, and then this was in college, and she came down to visit me and knew some of the girls that I knew in college.
Oh, man.
So she thought it would be funny to invite all these people.
Jim, this smacks of retribution somehow. Did you feel like somebody was trying to get revenge on you?
I think she just thought it was a way, I don't know, to get to know me or whatever, but it was a shock, and it took me a while to get over it. But we did end up dating, and we dated for 8 years.
And
have been married right now for 28 years.
Whoa! That's
Jim,
one more year.
Blown away.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's where the story was going, Jim. 28 years. That's one full year longer than our resident expert, Dr. John Duffy.
And you were able to parlay your worst date into a lifelong relationship.
Yeah, it took us a long time of dating and, you know, figuring things out, but yeah.
And Jim, if you had a word of advice for somebody who is in that situation and wants to make it work, do you have anything to lend here?
Keep your mouth shut.
Jim.
That's primarily for the guys, is it not, Jim?
Yeah, because they're, it's a no-win situation. You just kind of let them talk and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have nothing, they didn't have any deep, dark secrets you didn't want to hide. And if you're not lying, it sounds like you're a good guy if you made it last 28 years, Jim.
Yeah, so. But that was the worst thing. You felt, you know, like you're on trial.
Well, it's kind of good to go through the worst thing first, Jim. So congratulations on 28 years together.
Jim, where are you located?
Up in Antioch.
All right, Jim, we're going to get your information. Our engineer, Tom, producer Tom, is going to get your information. We've got free tickets for you for the world-famous Laugh Factory. He'll get your information and get those to you. Okay, Jim? Bring her for an anniversary or something. And then we're going to go to Sandy. Sandy's got a story for us. Sandy, what do you got?
Hi. This is about love for seniors.
Love for seniors. That was our next topic.
No so kidding.
What do you got for us, Sandy? Love for seniors.
Exactly one year ago, I received a letter from my high school asking if this gentleman could get in touch with me. And I wrote her back, and I gave her my phone number and email. And I remembered him because we had dated shortly in high school, but I remembered him because he picked me up from high school the day JFK was shot. That was my main memory.
No kidding. Wow.
So we called, made a date for lunch, and which is going to be November 17th was our of 2017 was our date for lunch out at Woodfield.
Okay.
We recognized each other. I had super clammy hands.
Understandable.
We laughed. We talked. We were there so long that they turned the lights off.
Wow.
No kidding, Sandy.
It's a great date.
They had to get ready for dinner. And they must have been coming by saying, you know, is there anything else we can get you? Is there anything else we can do? And they finally turned the lights off. And we're just about as opposite. I'm not quite a tree hugger,
okay,
but I definitely lean that way.
Right.
And he's a drinking, smoking, oil man, car.
Oil man.
All we do is laugh. We just laugh and smile, and the sex is pretty great, too.
Oh, everything about that sounds hopeful. Seriously, Sandy. And do you think if you didn't know each other all those years ago that this ever could have happened, that you ever could have connected in this way?
Probably not. We don't remember very much at all when we were dating. You know, he remembers he took me to the very first James Bond movie, and he said the movie was so great, he said, I didn't even put my armor on you. You know?
Sandy, so is it November 17th is your is your
will be our 1 year since we have reconnected.
Well, Sandy, if you hold on the line, Tom's going to get your information, and we're going to give you tickets if you want to come to the Laugh Factory. Any show you want here in Chicago, we'll put you on the VIP list. Okay, Sandy? So it's hold on.
That sounds super.
Bring your date, and you guys will have some laughs on us. Hold on the line, and he'll get your information. We're going to take a quick break here with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar here, but call us with your stories on dating and relationships, 312-981-7200. That goes out to our dear friend Sandy. You're listening to Nightside on WGN with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar. Give us a call if you got some dating advice for us, or if you want dating advice from us.
Right.
Or relationship stories. We are waiting to hear worst first date stories. We're giving away prizes for your calls. And we want to hear what are the things that you face in relationships, whether they're, you know, fighting over the remote control, politics, music taste, 312-981-7200. One thing I do want to say, and we're going to tease this later. We're going to talk about why I'm single, or you're going to analyze me and figure it out. But I always like distance in relationships, whether it's personal space or whatnot. I always felt like a long distance relationship was the key. The longest relationship I ever had started as a long distance relationship.
Is that right?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting.
Is that a psychological barrier that I'm doing?
It's not just a psychological barrier. I think I would argue it's possibly a geographical barrier.
Well, I feel like I like that because it makes it like it's always like a first date. Like if you're one girlfriend I had, we were long distance. We'd see each other twice a month.
Right.
But when we'd see each other, it was like there was no fights. It was just like always on. Everyone was having a great time. We talked every day on the phone.
So in all seriousness, I suppose if that's the end game, right? If that's what you're looking for, that makes perfect sense, right? I think if you're trying to make it something more serious, at some point you got to feel what the day-to-day feels like.
So Patty Vasquez has a great theory, and she brings up in the podcast, it's before you live with someone or whatever, go on a road trip with them, because that's when you learn a lot about a person.
Man, do I love that idea.
It's a great, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. But I think that my ideal situation is a long distance relationship because I like to have my space. I don't know, but we got callers that have questions about this. Look, we got caller Max, what are your thoughts on long distance relationships? Hey, Max.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Duffy?
Hello, Max. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in a long-distance relationship right now. And, I would have to agree. Sometimes the space is kind of nice, you know, lets you get time to be yourself.
Right. So that there's an upside, right? I think you're agreeing with Paul on that. So what,
my man, Max.
Is there a downside, Max? Is there a downside to how long have you been in your relationship?
Well, the downside is she doesn't know we're dating.
Wait, is this?
It's nothing serious. We've been dating for almost 4 years.
4 years, and she doesn't know you're dating? What do you mean by that?
That was a joke.
Yeah, okay.
So something about this really, truly works, right, Max?
Yeah, I would definitely say it definitely works, especially in the 21st century. You know, we have FaceTime and we're texting and stuff. Yeah. It honestly doesn't even feel like it's 2,000 miles apart, especially when we're always looking forward to the next thing. You know, like we always have some visit planned or something to look forward to.
So my buddy Paul here was saying just a minute ago that his ideal is that long-distance relationship,
yeah.
That what you have is what he wants. Is this what you want permanently, Max? Would you, if it were up to you, would you hold on to this long-distance relationship for a long time?
I would not say that this is the ideal. Because I definitely want that person to be physically, geographically closer to me. but I think it is an interesting opportunity to kind of, you know, grow yourself and be yourself and kind of do your own thing and still know that you have that person to you know, be open and communicate with and kind of share stories of your day-to-day life with.
How old are you, Max? You mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Okay, yeah. So you're young and you're like growing as a person. And one of the things I talk about on my podcast, this is Paul Farvar, by the way. I have no clinical background whatsoever other than being on lots of dates.
Brilliant with great hair as well.
Brilliant with great hair. I do have a law degree.
That'll work.
And I am very funny sometimes. But I will say that when you're young, I feel like if you get into a relationship, a serious relationship, you do lose some of your individual growth. And that's my argument for staying single, because if I was in a serious relationship, I was in a serious relationship when I was 24, but I thought when I was 24, I was going to be this lawyer working at a big firm or a musician. That was something that I was in when I was 24. I was a musician, everything like that. And now, 15, 20 years later, that's none of those things are on my I've grown so much as a person. I'm such a different person. So there is that to your long distance relationship.
And Max, you do point
really fair for sure to think about that too, like the personal growth thing. And that's actually something that me and my girlfriend keep very clear to each other, that we don't in any way want to stunt each other's growth or what we want to do, which is how this whole long distance relationship started. It didn't start out long distance. But I decided that I wanted to be going to this school that's in California. And I'm from Chicago, and she had a job lined up there, and there was just no way that we were going to be able to, I wasn't going to make her leave her job just to come be with me, and I wasn't going to not go to school just to stay there with her. But we'll figure it out if we want to,
Absolutely. And one thing I like that you pointed out, Max, is it's different now to date long distance because you have these ways of keeping in touch. You can actually see your girlfriend's face every single day.
Yep.
And there's maybe that drives some closeness that wasn't available when we were 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max, hold on to staying single as long as you can, my friend. Ride it out.
Max, grab that girl and marry her as quickly as you can.
Individual growth, Max. Good luck in school. Thanks for giving us a call, Max. We appreciate it.
Good luck, Max.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Now, we have someone who turned their date into 50 years of marriage. Elizabeth, are you there? Can you hear us, Elizabeth?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you? Thanks for calling us.
I wanted to tell you my story because it comes from the 50s.
Okay.
I'm 85 years old. I was a victim of statutory rape when I was 14.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Elizabeth.
Yeah. So I was kind of shy about going out on a date, and I was introduced to this fella. He was delivering orders from his father's butcher shop and knew my girlfriend. I didn't know him. And he asked for my number, and I thought, oh, what the hell? It had been a year already, and I was ready for something. So he came, and he wore a bow tie and an orchid on his arm, which I didn't expect. And I thought, oh, this is going to be some fluky date. he took me downtown to the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Which had an outdoor dance pavilion at that time. And I was impressed. And he was so sweet that when he took me home, I told him what had happened, and he looked at me, and he held my hand and put his hand in his pocket and took out an old engagement ring, and he said, we were going to get married, and she broke it off. And I thought, oh, my God, he's been hurt, too. And he looked at me, and he said, I'll never hurt you. So I took a chance, and after we had three children, 2 months, 2.5, and 5 years old, he started having bad seizures. We thought he had a brain tumor, but he had an arteriovenous malformation of the midfrontal parietal area. There was nothing they could do for him at that time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked at him, and I said, you're not going to die. You're going to help me raise these children. And we went through life together, ups and downs. And after 59 years, he left me at the age of 83. But what I want to tell you is he was so sincere, and he said he didn't want to hurt me. and I believed him. I took a chance. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to take a chance.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing that story. That's so amazing. And it's good. You do have to take chances like that in life, right, Doctor?
Absolutely. And your story is so beautiful. And I love the idea that you both come into it wounded and somehow you repair each other. Just a lovely story. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Elizabeth. So give us a call if you've got some stories about taking chances on love or wanting to have individual growth. 312-981-7200. Do we have time for another call? We gotta take a break for the news, don't we? We're going to be back after this news break. Paul Farver here, Dr. John Duffy. We are talking relationships, your stories. We are looking for people to call in with their best worst date stories. We have prizes ranging from a $100 gift card to RPM steak.
Right.
Tickets to the world famous Laugh Factory, Drink Date Laugh, every Friday at 8 p.m. I am the host of that show. We've also got Lou Malnati's gift card and some other cool stuff as well. It's like some sort of cool thing from WGN. It's like, what is it? It's a desktop tree.
It's a desktop tree, but there's something special about the desktop tree.
Tom knows more about that.
Yeah.
But give us a call, 312-981-7200. Best worst date stories, if you got some for us. And also, we were talking about things that hurts. We have differences in opinions.
Yeah.
One thing that comes up a lot are Cubs Sox, Cubs Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
That comes up in your stories, too?
A lot of times, there is a big issue in sports affiliations, you know, that usually that can be pretty playful, but I've seen couples go at it a little bit about, like, you know, especially if somebody's like a Patriots fan and somebody's a Colts fan, for example, like, you know, where you get this disparity and there's a lot of like ha in your face kind of perennially, that can get pretty ugly.
I cannot stand the Patriots. I don't know if I could date someone that's a Patriots fan. Well, I could, unless they're like Tom Brady. I just don't like Tom Brady.
I think
any other thing.
I'm looking for something pathological in that, and I find nothing. That seems perfectly reasonable to me.
Because of the Tuck rule, mostly because I was a Raiders fan, and everyone knows in 2000 he was Rupp. Tom, are you a Patriots fan?
Yeah, man. Why would you not want to date someone who's a fan of the like most successful, one of the most successful football franchises in history?
Well, I mean, listen.
Come on.
Belichick deserves most of the credit. I think Tom Brady is in a system. He's a systems quarterback. And so, therefore, that's why you and I can never date.
Well, I'm canceling our dinner date to RPM right now. Made fun of my hair.
I did.
You did.
Just for the record, I forgot. I thought we had a memo out that hair is very important on the Dr. Duffy Paul Farvar show, mm-hmm. because on radio you see how much time we spend in the hair. Aubrey, our engineer, has one of the finest hairs in the world. Heads of hairs, I would say, not just mm-hmm. one hair. And then Tom, the only reason you're just wearing a hat. It seems like you're like, I didn't want to even try to compete.
You know, it is cold outside today.
It is cold, but it's warm and snuggly in here.
That's true. Well, you know, we could always, for you guys, you know, Paul, I think you could use a new sponsor, maybe Touch of Gray or something like
Touch
that.
Touch of Gray. I don't think you know how Touch of Gray works, because then if I used it, I wouldn't have these gray hairs. But anyway, we are talking about, it's not about Tom and I fighting. We would clearly not get along because of his Patriot affiliation. But if you have a best worst date, give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us. If you got some good dating stories or worst date stories, we got prizes to give away. And right now we actually got a call for a best worst date story. Chuck, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Chuck.
How you doing, Chuck?
Good. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good. So what's your story?
Okay, so I'm dating this girl for about a year and a half. This is 25 years ago. And the date went really well. We were heading back to my place in the city here in Chicago. And she asked me if we could stop at a bar because she wanted to see a friend. I dropped her off. Went to park the car. As I was walking in, I saw her arms wrapped around him, and they were kissing. you know, pretty intensely, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what's going on here? So I got a little upset, got in the car, took off, and that's how the date ended, to find out that she was dating another gentleman.
Wow.
Did she know you were coming to that location?
Yeah, she knew where he was hanging out because that was their hangout, which I never knew.
But you were scheduled to meet her there.
We already met for the date, and she just wanted to go there for a cocktail, and he happened to be there.
I see. So if that were to happen today, Chuck, so I work with a lot of young people, and they would tell me a story similar to that, and there would be a barrage of texts going back and forth about how awful you are, and I defend myself, and we never said we were exclusive. Did you ever have any closure on that relationship that lasted a whole year and a half?
No, we didn't. It was just ugly. I just left her and hung her out to dry.
So how long did it take you to get back into the dating world after that?
It took about maybe 3 years.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Right.
Ugh.
And after all that, I got married. I'm going through a divorce right now. And so is this girl that I was talking about, to find out that we've been dating and it felt like time never passed. So we're back together after 25 years. I'm not saying.
Oh, that's a twist.
Wow, Chuck, did not see that coming. You're
not
telling me that the girl who left you in that bar that night, you are seeing now.
Correct.
Have you guys talked about that night? Does she have a different version of the story, or did she know right away that she messed up?
She knew she messed up. She's apologizing. I keep apologizing, and she's like, you know what? We were young. That was 25 years ago. Let's move on, and where we're at now, let's just be happy together.
Now, after that happened, like in the immediate afterwards, did she try to reach out to you to apologize or anything like that?
No. We talked to each other until 2 years ago when we first had contact on Facebook.
Wow.
So, Chuck, pardon my clinical curiosity here, and I'm not looking for trouble, I promise you. Is trust a difficulty in your relationship at all after something that happened a generation ago? Or do you find, like, nope, it's easy, we trust each other, kind of perfectly well. I never think about it.
I think there's more trust now. I think it was just because we were young and there's a lot more vulnerability. Now that we're older and we have more respect for each other, I could see this moving on.
What a very hopeful story, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here's something that you know, went so very wrong, and you may never have run into each other again in your entire lives. How cool is it that after 25 years of going through all these ups and downs, including a marriage and divorce, that you end up together? That is really very impressive, Chuck. Great story.
That's a great story, and it's hopeful and everything.
It's kind of got a worst and best date vibe to it.
It does. It's taken the game to a new direction and a new level, Chuck. And for that, we've got a prize for you as well. That's a great story. We're going to get your information. We're going to decide what he should get. I think Lou Malnati's pizza.
I think so. I think we got to step it up for Chuck. That was the twist was big.
Yeah, Chuck, thank you so much for sharing your story. Tom's going to get your information, and you have a Lou Malnati's gift card for $25 courtesy of WGN Radio.
Right on.
How do you beat that story?
You don't beat that story. I mean, I can't think of a more hopeful resolution to something that somebody could carry around for a lifetime. Because I would guess that most people listening have a story like Chuck's from a long time ago, right?
I've got one for sure.
Do you?
Yeah. But I mean, I had a girl that I was dating cheating on me,
right?
With a guy who, you know, I was always like suspicious of. I didn't walk in on it or anything like that. That would have been more traumatic. But that is something that happened in 2000 that I think I still carry with me in terms of trust issues.
Yeah, you've got a year in mind.
May explain why I'm single. Yeah, I remember it was in 2000, March of 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
Never forget.
How about that, right?
Yeah. See, yeah. These are the things that you don't forget. Also, the same amount of period of time where Tom Brady tucked the quarterback, allegedly tucked the ball. And I'm trying to get under Thomas. and the Raiders lost that game and didn't go to the Super Bowl. But that's a whole nother story.
That'll be the sports talk radio segment that we're
that we're teasing.
That's right.
But we're going to take a break right now. Please give us a call with your stories of dating. Best worst date stories. We're looking for worst dates or stories that beat Chuck's. 312.
Yeah, keep them coming.
981-7200 here on WGN Radio. You are listening to Nightside with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farver. We are talking about relationships and being single. Two separate things. I myself, Paul Farver, am single and have been happily single for most of my 40 years.
And in contrast, I, Dr. John Duffy, have been married more than half my life, I just realized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
27 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing
in a couple of
to
weeks.
Me.
Yeah.
So do you guys still have arguments, or do you wait until the podcast and that's when you guys hash it out?
Julie and I never argue. That's
ever.
The key to a good relationship. We haven't disagreed in 23 of our 27 years.
What are the silliest arguments you guys have?
Going back, one of our callers has something akin to one of our arguments. I'm going to spare that for a second. The argument that was resolved to my satisfaction best involved Springsteen. I have been a Springsteen fan since I was 16 years old. That was the River Tour, for those of you who are paying attention.
I just saw the River Tour a couple years ago.
That was a good show, right?
First and last Bruce concert I went to.
So I bring my wife to see Bruce and the E Street Band, and she is unimpressed. She does not like it much. It just seems like noise. And my dream in my head is, I know how to get to Julie, but I don't know how to make it happen. If Bruce would only do a solo acoustic tour, man, that would make it happen. And then he records this solo acoustic album called Devils and Dust. Julie and I go, and the verdict is still out as we're walking to the car in the parking lot, and I'm holding my breath, and I'm dying, and she goes, oh, yeah, Bruce is big. And I was like,
that's amazing.
I am going to marry this girl all over again.
So that's funny. I actually have a joke that I do for people that know my stand-up about a girl that I was dating who was significantly younger than me who doesn't know who Bruce Springsteen is. And that was like a deal breaker for me.
Oh, my.
But that's an argument that we can have. We have a caller who has an interesting argument that he has. Randy. You there?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Randy.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for calling.
What's going on, guys?
Not much. You tell us. What's the arguments that you have?
It's a fun argument. And I bet that joke that you have is better than anything Carl Amari could ever say on the air. it's a fun argument. My girlfriend and I travel. We've been together about 3.5-4 years now. And we have the AC or the heat on in the car, and instead of physically turning down the speed or up the speed, she'll do this really fast slap motion of the vent to like redirect it away from her, and it's annoying, but I love it. I don't know what it is.
But wait, Randy, when she redirects that vent, this is a thing with my wife and I, actually. If she slaps that vent the wrong way, doesn't that blow the air toward you, whether you desire the temperature that's going on in the car or not?
She doesn't care.
What do you love about it?
That's what I love about it, is that as long as it's making her comfortable, it's like, you know, anybody else, they got to deal with it.
I'm learning such a profound lesson from you in patience and kindness right now, Randy. I can hardly express myself because my wife and I have a similar argument about temperature in the car, in the house, and I tend to be just whiny about it. And it sounds like you, on the other hand, are gracious and kind, and you want her to feel happy and comfortable, and it's a fun moment for you.
It is, and that's very kind of you to say that. You guys kind of dipped your toes into it earlier about road trips and the psychological of it, and she's seen me at my worst, she's seen me at my best, and I've seen the best of her and the worst of her, and traveling in a car is, you know, across the country is, you know, you can't get that in a, you know, long distance relationship.
No, and you really, really get to know each other, don't you, when you're in the car for a long time, and you know, you see different terrain and you experience different things, and you know, it takes you out of that everyday kind of discussion about, like, is the laundry done, or are the kids off to school, or have we paid the mortgage?
Very true. Yeah. Thank you for getting to me on the radio.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm sorry I didn't have a juicy, bad, you know, ex story, but I have one if you want me to send it.
You have a bad story?
You've got a bad story?
Yeah. I hope she's not listening, but I can send it if you'd like for me to.
Sure. Text it to us. We'll decide on it and decide if you win any prizes, Randy. But, you know, by the way, for that car situation, you know, there's cars that have different, you can have your own setting on each side.
Correct, right.
And that's pretty
that's
common
little,
now.
That's a little out of our price range, though.
I think the Ford Focus does
it. We modified a used U-Haul Ford Transit to go across country, and now fortunately, we're in a motorhome.
Okay.
But, you know, you got to make do with what you have.
Makes sense. Thanks for calling, Randy. We appreciate the call, and definitely text us that story, and you might win some, at least, tickets to the Laugh Factory, so you can bring her there, and you guys can figure out the air conditioning on the way there.
Very good. You guys have a good night.
Thanks, Randy. You do the same. I'm going to learn to be more like Randy. I like everything about that. It's super gracious of him.
That is nice of him.
Yeah.
That's funny. We were talking about deal breakers, and I was starting to think of mine. The Springsteen one, it's funny that I had that similar story. I still stuck it out with that girl. But it was, that was part of the deal breaker.
Is that right?
That was on the stage when I tell the joke, I say the Bruce Springsteen was the deal breaker. But there was a picture I have in my house where I'm standing between a man and a woman. It's one side is Rod Blagojevich and the other side is Carol Moseley Braun.
Okay.
Who's African American.
Right.
And she goes, "Oh, your parents are so cute." And I was like,
wow.
But on stage, I change it. So it's, you know, I say it's Sheryl Crow and Stevie Wonder and the same concept because I have met both those people. And that was the actual, like, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. That's a deal breaker. Do we have any text, Tom, where people are talking about their deal breakers or stories?
Yeah, I got a very specific, it's very Chicago, I will say that. So this is coming from the 630. I took a girl out to deep dish pizza. I paid for it. And when she took home the leftovers, there was not a second date.
She took them home?
She took them home with her. She took the leftovers.
Didn't even offer? Ugh.
I don't know. We don't have the context past that, but he paid for the pizza. You know, that's fine. You take someone out, you pay for the pizza.
Seems completely reasonable
the
right
leftovers
there.
Leftovers go to the payee.
Yeah,
the payer,
or
you know.
Decides what goes. He gets
yeah,
to
if he offers
payee.
You the leftovers. Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. If he wants to call in and tell us that story or give us her number, we're going to call her and ask her why she did that.
That's bold.
It's pretty bold. It is a uniquely Chicago story. Yeah. I got to give you that, Tom.
We got to hear her side of the story. And if his story pans out, he'll get a Luminati's gift card or at least tickets to the world famous Laugh Factor. If he wants to call
challenge
in.
Challenge is on.
And I know it's bold, but that's what we do here
show
with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farver. So if we weren't bold, we'd be what? Playing quarterback for the Patriots or something like that. I don't know.
Oh man, it's gonna be a long night.
Speaking of which, Tom, you have you are in a relationship with your girlfriend.
Yes, I am.
And you guys have some sort of differences on music, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. Yeah, and we'll have to discuss it after this brief break.
Okay.
News.
Let's take a break here on WGN, but give us a call at 312-981-7200 if you've got some stories or if you need dating advice free of charge from two experts. One is a professional expert like myself, Paul Farvar, and the other is a trained psychologist, Dr. John Duffy. More in a minute. Who picked B-52s? Was that you, Tom?
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Do you not like the B-52s?
I thought we discussed the B-52s, but I thought that maybe that's payback for me making fun of your hair and Tom Brady. But you are listening to Nightside with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farivar. We are talking about best worst dates. We're talking about relationships. Tell us your stories, or if you've got questions. We haven't had a lot of people calling us. I feel like we haven't sold ourselves on our
expertise. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that we have something to bring to the table here.
Yeah. If you want to call and you have questions about dating or relationships, 312-981-7200. Why pay $6,340 for a life coach or a dating coach?
That's a 2.5 hour fee right there.
Yeah. We're giving you free advice. Between us, we have how many years of psychology school?
We've got a good 25 years between us.
Between us, we have 25 years of psychology expertise and years of relationships, 27 years of a successful relationship between the two of us. So I don't know what you're waiting for. It's just common sense. And we've worked through differences in our relationships the 27 years that we've had between us. Tom, you are in a successful relationship despite being a Patriots fan. Is that correct, Tom Hush?
That is true, specifically despite being a Patriots fan.
Is your significant other?
No, she's really not much for pro sports.
Okay, so what are the issues that you have? Is it? I'm guessing music related.
Yeah, it is definitely music related.
She doesn't like Carly Rae Jepsen?
No, that we can agree on. We both have a sincere love for Carly Rae Jepsen. No, most of it is... with the music thing, we both have an intense passion for music. It's part of our lives, always has been. But I skew more, I guess, broadly alternative, like a lot more harder music, a lot weirder music, things like, I don't know, I listen to a lot of Fugazi, I guess.
Okay.
But she loves pop and like the most incessant pop music, like the worst pop music. We're not like
Hootie and the Blowfish or what?
No, like Lady Gaga remix, like internet remixes, not Lady Gaga. Don't have a problem with Lady Gaga necessarily.
You just
but,
don't like the remixes?
Yeah, she it's listens to these specific. Like crazy, like saccharine pop remixes. Like she listens. I know. I'm trying to find the words to describe it.
Oh, I think you're finding it.
You can tell saccharine. I've thought about it a lot. But she and she listens to a lot of Top 40. I really dislike Top 40 99% of the time. And like, we don't fight about it because she doesn't like to fight. She likes to just be like, well, I'm going to shut down for a little while and just not talk to you for about half an hour to an hour until we stop talking about this. Because it's never going to change. We know we're not going to change each other.
So you're the music snob of the two. Totally.
I'm the pitchfork.com of the relationship.
See, I think that I come off as a music snob when I judge people on their music too. And that may be why I can't hold a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I do think just paying attention to your story, Tom. It's interesting to picture that in a relationship. We get kind of in my house, we call it pointy. We kind of get like this attitude, right? If somebody disagrees with us, and it's hard to find detente in that, right? It's hard to find any point of agreement, and we want to think this is fine, this is benign, this isn't any big deal at all, but sometimes this stuff gets to be toxic, right? Where you actually get upset with one another about something that feels pretty benign and just like a matter of taste.
Well, because when I grew up, growing up with me, music was so important to me that, and I came from an argumentative household in a good way, that we liked to lively debate about anything. But my guiding philosophy for a really long time was it's not what you're like, it's what you like.
Yeah.
And that really, it didn't really do me any favors most of the time, but I was so stuck to it. I was just like, oh, you listen to this? Well, you must not be like the kind of person I want to hang out with.
Yeah, I was like that growing up. I was very, because I had an older brother who taught me well on having music taste early, and I was so anti-pop in the 80s. People that listened to, you know, Michael Jackson or Duran Duran, I was like, oh, I'm so above that, because I was this huge Police fan, and I listened to Psychedelic Furs when I was like 8 years old. I was ahead of the time.
Man, you were cool.
I was cool back then.
What happened to that, Paul?
Yeah. But now I don't, it doesn't like, it doesn't make a deal. It's not a deal breaker for me. Even that girl who I dated who didn't know who Bruce Springsteen was, it was just an age thing.
Right.
And then when she listened to it, she's like, oh, that's cool. So I have no problem with that. That's not a deal breaker for me. And I can't argue with people about music. Because I mean, it's so subjective.
Well, and deal breakers are interesting in and of themselves, right? These things that not only make us like, you know, kind of, stick to our guns and our positions and get angry in probably a petty way, but things that really feel like that just will not work for me.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, especially being single and dating people and talking with people who are single on my podcast, how many people are like, they put the line right down, they're like, this is where I will not talk to someone. It's not usually music. It's more what I've seen lately, obviously, is politics. There's a lot of people that, and location is a big thing too. I know people that live in the suburbs, or people who live in the city won't date people who live in the suburbs, or people who have kids. Some people won't date people. I actually had a great conversation with one of our guests on the podcast who is in his, 40s. He was married. He has a kid, and he won't date women in their 30s who have not had kids because he doesn't want to waste their time. And I found that an interesting,
really interesting
story and an interesting way to approach dating. Because I also now use that in the back of my head. If I'm dating someone and they're looking, you know, they have their biological clock ticking and they want to have kids, I'm like, well, I don't want to waste their time because I'm probably not going to get married and have kids in the next 2 to 20 years,
right?
Ever. So who knows? So I don't know.
Yeah. And is it tough to limit your pool like that?
Oh, it's tough to. I think my pool is it's very shallow. I don't think a lot of people are swiping right on somebody like me. And that might be why I'm single. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Right. Well, some of the deal breakers that I hear about, kids for sure, but oftentimes it's people with first marriages who are just talking about whether they want kids or not, how many kids they picture, you know, what religion are we going to raise the kids? These really pragmatic things.
Religion,
you know?
Too. We've had stories come up on the podcast or during my show, Drink Day Laugh at the Laugh Factory, where girls have been broken up to or guys have been broken up because they weren't Jewish. And they'll date someone for a while thinking they can make it work. And then all of a sudden they drop that bombshell, which is like, you know, that going into the relationship, why put yourself in that situation?
I'm working with a young man now who ran into that very situation, was dating a girl who was Jewish. They got very deep into the relationship. Finally, she called it off one day very abruptly, in large part solely, actually, because he's not Jewish and this was never going to work for her. They were never going to be married.
But is that the true reason or is that kind of like a cop out? I feel like people have that in their back pocket for when they want something to like get out of a situation. Like, oh,
I will admit that it crosses my mind when I hear that story sometimes. Is that just a way out? And if you were really interested in that person, would you figure it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder that same thing too.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder that when people tell me all the excuses on why they won't date me. So I you know. It's all these things like, oh, Paul, we like you so much, but you're a Cubs fan. And then I'm like, you knew that going in.
If somebody, I get the religious thing because there can be some pretty deep pressures going on there. So I'd be willing to hear that. But if someone were just like, I can't date you because you're a Cubs fan, you didn't want
to
date them anyway.
Right.
Amen.
Because people who are actually in it to win it will look past these things because although they can be important. Sometimes you just got to look past stuff and be like, what's the nitty gritty here? It's not whether or not they're a Cubs fan. It's whether or not we can be compatible and be partners and be friends for a long period of time.
Absolutely. Right. No, and I actually like it when a couple can navigate a difference, something like that. Like, well, I'm Cubs and you're Sox and we're going to have to figure that out, you know?
And that's kind of like a cue thing. People that are sports, you know, they don't matter in the scheme of things.
Right.
It's just fun. It's something it's a distraction from reality. People can disagree with that. But having become a comedian in my life, I do judge people on their comedy choices or TV shows. Like that's something that has been, you know, you'd be like, oh, your favorite comedian is, you know, Gallagher. You're like, what? How is that possible? Or whatever. Although Gallagher's actually, I can appreciate, but like there's other, I'm not going to name names, but there are comedians that I'm like, how do you think that person's funny and still date me? Like, that's just not my style.
Is a sense of humor mandatory for you?
No, I don't. I think people for me, well, first of all, I try not to date people in my profession, whether it's when I was a lawyer or a comedian. I think, well, definitely I can't. Two lawyers are a bad connection, especially litigators, because all we did was fight. That's this issue. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a break, and I think we're going to do an analysis by a professional.
On you.
Dr. John Duffy is going to ask the question, why is Paul single? And if you've got if you've got answers or you have opinions on why I'm single, 312-981-7200, and or text us. Be nice, but you don't have to be nice. No, you can make fun of me. I do comedy making fun of myself every night. But give us a call, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a little break here on Nightside with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar. Story of my life. You are listening to Nightside. I'm Paul Farvar.
And I'm Dr. John Duffy.
We are wrapping up here, and we've thought, first of all, we want to apologize for those of you who didn't get to your calls, but we are going to be back doing Nightside together. We just got the call. We are back next Thursday, the 15th.
So definitely join us then. We'll be talking more about relationships, and I imagine a couple other things.
Yeah, and if you got questions and you want to save yourself the $6,000 fee for dating coaches, you got two of them. Between the two of us, we have 27 years of successful marriage and 25 years of counseling expertise.
Yeah, if you add up our resumes, I think together. That's about right. Yeah, right, together. Right, exactly.
That's all your resume. My resume includes being single for 40 years, which is something that people often ask. How, actually, Andrea, before we started the show, was like, how is Paul single and why is Paul single?
She was.
And people have tried to figure this out. And Patty Vasquez, one of my dear friends here at WGN Radio, has said it's by choice. What says you, Doc?
All right. So, well, let's ask a series of questions here.
All right.
First of all,
should I be laying down?
I think you best.
Okay. We have a couch here, as far as you
there's
know.
There's no need to get up now.
Okay. Yes. I feel very comfortable, Doc.
So, is it by, are you single deliberately? In other words, is this something you are determined to be?
I'm not determined to be, but I do enjoy being single. I do like my independence, and I like not answering to people, for lack of a better word. I like having my own schedule, doing what I want to do,
right?
Comfortable in my own skin.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and I talk about this on the Singles Only podcast, that I truly believe marriage is an outdated institution. I don't think it's a bad institution. I think it's a great institution, but it is kind of outdated.
Unnecessary, huh? Not everybody needs to be married to lead a fulfilling life.
Correct.
Okay.
I think there are people, and I think as we've evolved as a species, I think it's not natural to be monogamous for over 50 years.
Right.
I know that some of our callers have disagreed.
Right.
But that's what I feel. And I like being single. I love being in relationships, too. I've been in some that have been amazing, but they have their time. I feel like all relationships have like an expiration date.
Okay, so we're going to do a little more therapy here.
Okay.
Tell me what your thoughts on intimacy, not sex, but intimacy, closeness. I'm revealing myself.
Yeah.
I'm vulnerable to you.
I feel, and this is kind of a funny thing that comedians deal with a lot. I'm more comfortable telling my intimate self, being my intimate self in large groups. So me telling you all the 3.2, oh, we're at 3.1 million listeners now, I guess.
Good night,
we lost
everybody.
A couple
yeah.
people, but in front of a crowd, whether it's at Zany's or Laugh Factory, I talk about my real life stories on stage.
Is there an element of safety there?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have intimacy. I think I'm, when I last took therapy sessions,
right.
Years ago, I was told I was emotionally immature.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think so. But that was a few years ago. So now I've grown.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you're emotionally available?
I've heard that I'm not from people that I'm dating.
That's interesting. And yet you would argue, I think, that a crowd at Zany's or at the Laugh Factory would say, oh, no, I think he's very present and with me here in this moment.
Yeah, I think so. They would say that.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask the crowds. But the Yelp reviews seem to say that.
Right, right.
And I do have this phenomenon where people see me. I'm not, like, famous on the street. I'm not, like, where people, like, recognize me. But they see me because they saw me at a show, and they think they know me because we start talking and they're like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know you. And then and then it comes to fruition that they're like, oh, I saw you. I think, but because I talk to people, they think they know me.
Right. So if I floated a theory to you that, oh, I think what we're all looking for in this life fundamentally is some core connection, would you argue, okay, if that's true, I have that?
I have core connections, plural.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah. So maybe Paul is single. We'll spin the wheel here and see. There's no wheel here.
Okay.
No, that's a metaphoric
wheel. I got it.
Wheel. Okay, thanks.
I got confused.
please stay with me.
Okay.
We spin the wheel here. Perhaps Paul is single because he isn't sure yet whether he wants that lifelong relationship.
That's fair to say.
Is that possible?
Yeah. And also, there's that fear of missing out, too. Like, it's like, what if you get into a serious relationship and then all of a sudden Heather Graham is single and interested in dating me, who's like my dream girl?
Yeah.
I mean, I would be in an intimate, lifelong relationship with Heather Graham.
How do you know that?
I just feel like we have a connection.
I see. I think I'm getting a beat on why Paul's single.
Because I'm waiting for Heather Graham?
I think Heather Graham's going to be a long wait, man.
Well, I don't know. I feel like my star is growing. I'm growing in popularity. I'm going to be, you know, we've crossed paths. We've been in the same city at the same time.
Does she follow you on Twitter?
No.
Well, we can work on that.
Or Instagram. She doesn't follow me. I follow her.
Okay.
I mean, just on Instagram, not in real life.
Yeah, you're working on it. I can tell. Yeah. You don't seem unhappy, Paul. That's the curious thing about you.
Yeah, I'm pretty fulfilled.
Yeah.
And we talked about this with Max, who called earlier, and about personal growth. And I do believe that. I think, well, now I'm older, I think people who are in relationships or get into relationships older in life are more successful. Is there truth in that? Because you've already done your growing individually.
You've done your growing individually, and you've had that time to develop your career as well. So,
yes. Yeah,
there's a lot of things that have happened. So people are getting married at older and older ages. And to your point, a lot of people are never getting married.
Yeah.
Even if they decide they're going to live together for a lifetime, that happens a lot.
Because it's an outdated institution.
I will agree with you to some extent.
Well, because when marriage was created, people's lifespans were 30 to 32 years. So, like, till death do us our part, it's only a couple more years.
we're almost there. This is a three-year thing.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I guess we'll just agree on that. We both agree on that.
Absolutely.
I'm sure your wife will appreciate that. We are wrapping up. We're out of time almost here. We're going to take our last break in a bit. But where can people find out more about you, Dr. John Duffy?
Okay, so you can find me at drjohnduffy.com. I do a podcast with my beautiful wife, Julie, who I'm happily married to for all of 27 years, coming in a couple of weeks. It is called Better. You can find it on iTunes or wherever the finer podcasts are found. I am on Bill and Wendy's show here on WGN every other Wednesday morning at 11. That's most of my stuff.
Well, that's great. I have a podcast here called Two Guys, One Album with Michael Heidemann on the WGN channel. We talk about music. We will cover Carly Rae Jepsen soon with our great producer, Tom Mush.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I also have a podcast called Singles Only, where we interview single people with Patty Vasquez here at WGN. If you want to listen to it, go to iTunes, SoundCloud, all that stuff. If you want to find me on a stage, you can catch me at the Laugh Factory normally, or at Zany's, or just go to paulfcomedy.com and message me. You can also find me on Bubble and Tinder. I'm on there. You can swipe right or swipe left.
I am on neither of those.
That's correct. It wouldn't be appropriate for you.
Correct.
You're such a systems QB.
I am such a systems QB. That makes zero sense, Tom. But we're going to take our final break here on Nightside with Dr. John Duffy and Paul Farvar.